Current research from the University of South Australia has identified how the jaw bone is formed and what leads to craniofacial defects. This new information may provide clues into new treatments for these abnormalities as well as a variety of other ailments. Joining me now in the studio is Dr. Sophie Wozniak and Dr. Quentin Schwartz. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I've got lots of questions for you here because this sounds like amazing research. What are the new findings about how the jaw is formed?
Well, what we've basically found is that the jaw is formed from this cartilage template, which is called Meckel's cartilage. So people have known about Meckel's cartilage for a long time, over 180 years, but really not much has been known about how this cartilage template actually directs how the jawbone forms. So we found that it kind of acts as a scaffold, and that we've found that blood vessels are really important for directing that scaffold to grow into the right kind of shape, and then that lays down the right shape for the jawbone to form around it.
And why is it important that we know how the jawbone is formed?
Well, it's really important to address kind of issues such as how craniofacial defects arise. It's kind of been known, you know, for a while, several genes and things that are important for kids, you know, that are born with these craniofacial defects. But, you know, there are a lot of cases where you don't find a gene defect or the cause of how these kids end up with these defects is unknown. So finding that blood vessels are really important for this jaw formation process kind of provides a new therapeutic or a diagnostic angle for how these defects can arise.
So what has the new research told you about the causes of defects?
Sure. So I think one of the biggest conceptual advances that we've made is that, like Sophie said before, is by being able to show that blood vessels, in this case, secrete some kind of growth factors to control cartilage formation, we then understand how the disease occurs in the first place. And one of the big advances there is to say, if we know how cartilage forms, then there could be potential therapies for cartilage defects in the future. We are still a long way off of that. You know, the advance is that we have the concept in mind. We now need to really do a lot of research to find out what are those factors and then how could we harness them to do anything with therapies in the future.
Okay, so the research that you've done so far has answered some questions but brought up more.
Exactly, yeah. It's true of any research. And, you know, there's this, obviously, one of our biggest passions is to understand the basic developmental biology of this process and so that we can inform on disease in the first place and then therapies in the future. We are obviously quite adamant about trying to find what these factors are, and that's a major focus of our lab going forward.
So what was the main inspiration in wanting to find out about craniofacial defects and how the jaw is formed?
So that really comes from what my lab's interested in. We have a team of about 7 people now, which are really focused on understanding what the cellular and molecular mechanisms are that control development in itself. We've got a major focus on understanding what blood vessels do, what neuronal development does, and how those cell types interact. One of the key cell types that allows that to happen are a cell type called neural crest cells, and they're a really embryonic stem cell. And if we can really understand what they do, we can harness what they do and then use them for therapeutic options. So by doing that research, we are able to then directly look at why there are craniofacial defects, and that's a major passion of what we are doing.
I'm speaking with Quentin Schwartz and Sophie Wozniak from the University of South Australia about research into cartilage and craniofacial defects. Now, you mentioned stem cells just there in your answer. Is the current regulatory framework around stem cells allowing you to do the research that you need to do to find out some of the answers?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're working with animal models and you know, the regulations and things that go with that to do with that kind of research is, you know, we go through ethics approval type situations before we're allowed to do our research. And so, yeah, for using animal models and stem cells, we can do all of the experiments we need to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the research that you've done into the formation of the jaw and facio-cranial craniofacial defects, does that have applications outside of facial reconstruction?
Yeah, well, we think that through identifying some kind of growth factor or cytokine that can control cartilage growth, as well as being useful for perhaps down the track treating these craniofacial disorders, there are also plenty of other disorders involving cartilage growth and deformities. You know, these can include things like some kinds of arthritis and potentially sporting injuries or trauma injuries, where cartilage, you know, can be destroyed or injured, and possibly, you know, helping to for that to grow again via, you know, non-surgical or non-invasive techniques would be a really powerful thing to be able to do.
So, and even with that, I mean, craniofacial defects in themselves, there's really only one major therapy for them at the moment, which is highly invasive surgeries. So even if we can come up with any advances in that area, that's going to be a major breakthrough in itself.
So are we talking about perhaps growing part of the jaw outside of the body and then...
Probably not so much in this case. I think what we'd hope to do from these, from identifying some of these factors, is to perhaps, as well as, you know, complementary to reconstructive surgery, would be to, you know, perhaps implant these factors into a child's jaw to help, just to help enhance the growth.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it would increase the blood flow and increase
It may not actually even have to increase blood flow, but if we find out what the blood vessels do themselves to the cartilage, that would even be an intermediate step. The benefit of that is that our jaws and our face keeps growing until we're about 15 years of age. So if we can then just advance it and make it grow faster, we could actually then recover those injuries and defects.
Well, look, thanks very much for talking to us this morning, and I look forward to hearing more about your research.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.